Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to celebrate this season of Advent and try to draw out of it everything that the Lord wants us to have. And the church is really helping us. You know, the church is our mother, our guide, our teacher, and the liturgical year that the Lord has given to us in the church, the walking with Jesus through his life. And we, you know, just a few weeks ago, we celebrated the kingship of Jesus, you know, the Lord of the cosmos, the triumph, the ultimate destiny of all things. And then we repeat again. We celebrate that ultimate triumph, the fulfillment that's coming. It's already happened because he's literally there. He's in heaven. He's in glory. The new creation has begun. Nothing will stop it. And the Father's purpose and plan in his Son is going to come to total completion. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth and all of that. But then the church says, okay, now let's go back and let's start again. Let's walk through the life, the passion, the death, and the resurrection to glory in Jesus again. And so we're here at the beginning of that church year, and the Lord really guides the church to help us get our bearings clear and to remember who we are, that we're living between the two comings of Christ, that the time of mercy is upon the world now. Jesus came as a lamb for the salvation of the world, and he extends his mercy for salvation into the whole world through his church, through the church's preaching, her sacraments, her life. And we also know there's an urgency about it because this time's going to come to an end. And it really is the case that eternal life is at stake here on earth, and that it really matters. It matters more than anything else that people respond to God, that they respond to the offer of salvation that God has given to us in Christ. And for those people who may have never had a chance to hear it, to respond to the light that God has given them, because every single person is being given, before they die, enough light to respond, if their heart longs to respond to God, and only God knows and only God understands fully. But we have to pray. We have to pray not only that people have, but it's much more difficult to be in that kind of situation than to actually hear the gospel, the full light that's revealed in Jesus. And so the church bears this message. And part of what we need to ask ourselves as we're beginning this new year is to just be clear and say, where am I in relationship to in my own heart, my response to God, my response to Christ? Do I belong to him? As it says, you know, Jesus came that he would be the Lord of all. He died that those who live, St. Paul said, might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and rose again. What's the meaning of life? Well, the meaning of this life is to be in the will of God. What is the will of God? To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. What does it mean to love God? Jesus showed us what it means to love God. It's to humble ourselves and to obey him. For this, Jesus, he obeyed God the Father even to the point of death, and the Father highly exalted him, giving him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the pathway for us. This is what it means. So am I living, a great question is, am I living under the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Am I living in wisdom? Have I examined my life and I've used the freedom I've been given by God to surrender more fully to the Lord and make that decision, as I said yesterday, about being all in? By the way, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program so far this week, as we've been trying to lay hold of the graces of Advent, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net, listen to the programs right there, or put them on a device, download them to a device that works for you. Best thing to do, simplest way to do it, is to download the Renewal Ministries app. Go ahead and do that and spread the word so people can listen to whatever we're producing, our videos, our TV programs, Sister Ann's wonderful radio show, this radio show and other things can be accessed anytime, night or day that people have it. Because some of these shows just on the radio, you know, they appear pretty early in the morning. So not everybody gets a chance to, an easy chance to have access to it. So also you can download the Ave Maria app. There's a lot of great programming that's here. And to remember us, especially in this season, coming to the end of the year, remember us. If there's any way you feel like you've really been blessed by the programs, if you could, whatever you can give to help us and to help us keep growing both the network here, but the work of Renewal Ministries, it really, really would appreciate that. But I want to touch now some paragraphs from the Catechism that help us understand the incarnation, that is the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, God himself taking on human flesh. And it raises a question. Paragraph 1, the Son of God became man, the Catechism. Why did the Word become flesh? Paragraph 456, with the Nicene Creed, that's the longer creed we recite on Sundays at Mass, we answer by confessing, for us men, that's the generic men, that's humanity, for human beings, for us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and he was made man. So he became incarnate, he was born of the Virgin, he became man for what purpose? For salvation, to save us. From what? From the power of sin and death. From eternal separation from God. To save us from hell for heaven. To bring us from darkness to light. From death to life. That's what it's all about. Paragraph 457, the Word became flesh for us in order to save us by reconciling us with God. That's what salvation is, to be reconciled with God, to have the stain of original sin, to have that the power of that reign of sin and death broken over our lives. Not only original sin, but our participation in sin. Sin is a no to God. It's a refusal. It's a turning away from. It's choosing myself over him. My will be done, not your will be done. Again, the Catechism 457, the Word became flesh for us, in order to save us by reconciling us with God. Every human being stands in need of salvation. Every human being needs to be reconciled with God. Nobody's automatically in that position. No one is born innocent in this sense, in the most important sense. No one lives a sinful life. A sinless life, excuse me. A lot of us live a sinful life, a sinless life. So we're being saved from the power of sin and death. The paragraph goes on, it says, quoting scripture, Jesus, you know, he reconciled us with God who loved us and he sent his son to be an expiation for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He sent his son to blot out our offenses, to take them away. He did it through his death on the cross. It goes on. The Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world, and he was revealed to take away sins. This is critical that we see this. Jesus didn't come to just enhance our experience of life on earth. He didn't come simply to comfort us in whatever kind of decisions and pathway we find ourselves on. He came to save us from the actual situation we're in, which is an unreconciled relationship with God, hostile to God, separated from God. St. Paul said, living without hope in the world. This is what it means to walk in darkness, to literally end up eternally separated and living in darkness for all eternity. But the light, this is Advent, light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A light has come that's stronger than the darkness, that swallows up death in victory. That's Christ. Paragraph 458, the Word became flesh so that thus we might know God's love. So he came first to save us. That's clear, right? He came to save us, became one of us to save us. And in so doing, he reveals to us God's love. Jesus came to not just show us, but to bring us into an experience of the love of the Father. This is what your heart was made for and mine. Jesus makes it possible. This is our destiny. This is the ultimate goal of life. It's life in God, the life of love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in us, and us being able to enter into it. Paragraph goes on, it says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us. It's from the first letter of John. That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. So that first quote here in this paragraph, in this the love of God was made manifest among us. How do we know that God loves us? God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Remember we said on Monday, the prologue of John's gospel, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. In him was life. This is what John's saying here now in his first letter. It's so clear. He said that so we might live through him. He wants us to pass from death to life and to share in his life. That's what we're celebrating, friends, in this season. That's the light that comes into the world. That's the light that needs to go on in your mind and my mind, your heart, my heart, to be alive and fully burning the reality of what we've been given in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's from 1 John 4:9. And of course, the famous passage I just read, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So at the heart of Christianity is this awareness. Humanity's perishing apart from God. God acts to make it possible for us not to perish and to separate eternally from God. It's his act of love. It's his act of mercy. Nobody earns that. Nobody deserves that. That's a free gift of God. That's God's grace given to us for the sake of our salvation. Paragraph 459. The Word became flesh to be our model of holiness. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus said, and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble of heart. Another quote, he goes on to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. On the mountain of transfiguration, the Father commands, listen to him. This is my beloved Son. Jesus is the model of the Beatitudes, the Catechism teaches us here, and the norm of the new law. Love one another as I have loved you. That's the new law. That's the summary of the whole law. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. This love implies an effective offering of oneself after his example. Jesus said, no greater love is a man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend. So Jesus came to save us by reconciling us with God, that he might show us and lead us into the knowledge, the experiential knowledge of God's love, that he might be for us the model of holiness, of what it means to be set apart from God, for God to belong to God, to walk out the life of the Beatitudes. Jesus is the example, but he also gives us the power in the Holy Spirit to walk in his footsteps. Finally, paragraph 460, the Word became flesh to make us partakers of the divine nature. Wow. For this is why the Word became man, and the Son of God became the Son of Man, so that man, by entering into communion with the Word, thus receiving divine sonship, might become a son of God. You know, he gave us power to become children of God. Catechism goes on here in paragraph 460. For the Son of God became man so that we might become God. The only begotten Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature, so that he, made man, might make men gods, make us like God, uniting us to God, giving us a chance to share in the very life of God. Friends, these are just like words that can run off us like water off a duck's back unless we lay hold of them in the power of the Spirit. Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to make those words come alive in us. God bless you, friends. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.